Amen. Our scripture lesson is from Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, verses 38-42. So while Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. So, title of this sermon, Squirrels, Butterflies, and Shiny Things. Hold on, it'll be there in a second. There we go. What do these things have in common? They distract us sometimes. You ever been driving down the road and that squirrel is in the middle of the road and can't decide which way to run? They spend 5 minutes running back and forth. Do you ever feel you get squirrel brain and you feel that same way, that you're just running back and forth, not sure which way to turn around? Have you ever been to a baseball game and seen the kid out in the outfield watching the butterfly fly around instead of the ball flying towards them? It happens, right? Or what about those shiny things that kind of just, they sparkle and they draw our gaze to them? We get distracted. And I will confess, while writing this sermon, I got incredibly distracted at one point, thinking about the Super Bowl. I was sitting down, I was curious, hey, when does the Super Bowl fall this coming year? Because last year's Super Bowl was the day Wilson was born. It's also Lucy's birthday. And so within the first few hours of Wilson's life, he got to sit on my chest and watch the Super Bowl. So I started thinking about that and got distracted. And just so you know, it'll be in Arizona on February 12th this year. So we have about 7 months or so to get plans together. Sorry. So I know that the Super Bowl is coming 7 months. And I think about, loving the game of football. Can't wait for football season to start. Also, I really like Super Bowl food. I make this pepper dip that's really, really good. But even as I was thinking about the Super Bowl, I found a way to tie it in. The commercials. Think about all the commercials that are made for the Super Bowl. There are people probably sitting in offices now that have been working for months already to create the next Super Bowl ad. Working to get this little 30-second window absolutely perfect to be able to sell their product. Now, I was reminded of a class I had in seminary. We had a presenter come and talk about evangelism. And this guy was, at one point, one of the top advertising executives for Porsche. And he was really good at his job. He had this great career. He was making a ridiculous amount of money. He was driving a new Porsche every couple of months. But he came to our class and said, "I had to give it up because I always had this bad taste in my mouth." Because he would sit around the table deciding how to make our ad for Porsche, and our main goal was to hijack everyone's imagination. Said we were to hijack your imagination to make you not able to imagine yourself and anything else but driving a Porsche. He said that's how most advertisements work. The goal is to kidnap your imagination to where you can only imagine life with their product. That you can only be happy if you're driving this Porsche, or you'd only be happy if you use, this product to clean your walls with, or you bought this brand of paint, or if you drank this brand of soda versus this brand, you're going to be so much happier. And he said he felt guilty and realized he was feeding people on false hopes. Of fleeting hopes and fleeting joys. Sure, I'd be happy with a Porsche. It'd be kind of fun to drive and sell its nose or have to get all 6 kids somewhere. Or probably when that insurance bill shows up. Imagine it costs a lot to insure a Porsche. But these advertisers And even more than them, the world itself tries to hijack our imagination. I just love this image of this little boy and just the whole universe of imagination that's there. But yet, the world tries to steer us and focus from dreaming big, to get distracted. So do you guys ever get distracted? Ever think of distraction? I think of Doug from the movie Up. He's always walking around talking, he's like, squirrel! And looks there and sees the squirrel. Or even Monterey Jack from Rescue Rangers, digging way back now, always distracted by the cheese. We all get distracted. We get sidetracked. I remember one time, I was probably 14 years old, and my cousin had just turned 16, and we decided we were taking a fishing trip. But we were going to drive over to Highland County to go to the bull pasture, cow pasture, calf pasture. We were going to fish all the pastures. And we had a time, we were supposed to be home. We went over the mountain, and the fishing was pretty good. We caught some nice fish, and then it got hot. So we decided, hey, let's go swimming. So we went to a place where we could go swimming in the river. We were having a whole lot of fun, and I was late. I was over 130 minutes late. You ask me how I know this, because my mother had a rule. Every minute past curfew was a day grounded. So I was grounded for over 130 days because my mother was ready to call the police, the National Guard, the Marines, the Air Force. She was going to call NASA to use their satellites to find where we were in Highland County. Of course, this is before we all had cell phones, and we didn't think to stop by a payphone and call and say, hey, we're going to go swimming and be late. So when I got home, I walked through the door, and she was standing on top of the stairs, and I said, all right, 130 whatever days grounded, see you later, and walk down the stairs. It happened. To get distracted. Not by any malice or anything like that. It was hot. We wanted to go swimming. Sometimes I get distracted in conversations. I'll go to tell Jesse, hey, I'm going to run down the gas station and get gas in the vehicle. I'll be back, you know, 15 minutes. And then 45 minutes later, I show up, and she said, who did you run into and what did y'all talk about? I see some people laughing, turning around, looking at people. This happened to everybody else. Jesse sometimes gets so fed up. I say, hey, I'm going to do this. It'll be half an hour. She says, I'll see you an hour and a half. She's learned that I get distracted, start having conversations, and that's how things go. These distractions happen, but they're not all bad. Sometimes that conversation at the gas station allows me to find out of this person's mother's in the hospital. Now I can pray for them. Or that their kid is having surgery in a couple of weeks, and so I can plan to take a meal over. Sometimes these distractions lead to great things. You ever been driving down the road and pass someone barbecuing chicken on the side of the road and you turn around and get it when you weren't planning that? Sometimes that can be a great time of this impromptu picnic. Can also be a bad thing if your wife has slaved away making dinner and you show up with all this barbecue chicken you just bought, but it goes both ways. See what I'm getting at here? Now, in our Bible lesson, Jesus has been traveling and he stopped at Martha and Mary's house. Their brother is Lazarus. So in the town of Bethany, they stop there and it says that Martha greeted him as a guest, extended the sense of hospitality. Now this word hospitality gets thrown around a lot. Hospitality is a huge thing, especially in ancient Near East. Think about the landscape. It's dry, it's rough terrain, it's a desert-like climate. Travel is really hard. So hospitality to the Jewish people is a moral obligation. If someone stops by your house and needs hospitality, you extend it to them. That's not only the Jewish, but even the Romans had these laws of hospitality, of how you were to take care of people. I remember my first appointment way out in the sticks of West Augusta, traveling way back this road, way out in Deerfield, to a lady who I think she had just turned about 104. And she was talking about, as a kid, she remembered on the front porch of their house, they had a little room set up for the traveling preacher to come through. She also said this time, she remembered the preacher came through the Friday before Communion Sunday, visited everybody, and gave them their communion tickets to make sure they were right with God and their neighbor. And for some reason, she and all of her siblings were kicked out to the woods that whole weekend to not distract the preacher. So But the things of hospitality, being ready to welcome someone into your home, it's a very important thing. Not only is it important to welcome this guest and offer the food and shelter, the basic needs, but it's also this opportunity to build a relationship. Martha and Mary do just that. They welcome Jesus into their home. Mary sits at Jesus' feet, listening to all Jesus has to say, while Martha busies herself getting everything ready for Jesus. Probably making a meal, making sure a bed is there, clean sheets, the pillows are fluffed just right, probably a mint on the pillow. So you can imagine Martha being this busy one who has this idea of what needs to be done and just scurrying around doing it. And she gets a little upset. So put yourself in Martha's shoe. Would you be a little upset with your sister not helping you? You probably go around and you would be upset. And if Jesus is right there, what better authority to tell Mary to get up and do something than Jesus himself? Walk over to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, look, I am doing all this work. Mary's just sitting here doing nothing. Tell her to get up and help me." And can you imagine the look on Martha's face when Jesus says, "You worry too much. Mary has the right of it." Can you imagine the look on her face as she has been slaving away to get things ready, to have things just right for her guests? So let's think about Mary for a minute. Mary, in a lot of ways, is breaking what is normal. In Jesus' time, Jesus is a rabbi, traveling and teaching, a time where the men would sit and listen to the teacher while the women, you know, got things ready and made the meal and all of that. So her staying at Jesus' feet is already breaking the norm. It's not what everyone would expect. But yet, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better. So what kind of person are you? Are you a Martha or are you a Mary? I think we have a lot of Marthas in this church. I see the things that get done around here. See, Martha is trying to offer the best hospitality she can by being busy, cooking, making sure everything is just right, going out and picking fresh flowers to put on the table. One thing to be their absolute best for Jesus. And there is nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. The world needs people like that. But yet, when Jesus says that Mary has the right of it, Jesus is letting Martha know she missed a very important part of hospitality, that relationship part. Hospitality, that true hospitality, is not just providing those basic needs, but it's this relationship. So think about this for a minute. If you go to a restaurant and you get a really bad meal, something's cooked wrong and all of this, and if you have a server who just doesn't care and is rude and offensive, are you going back to that restaurant? Probably not. If you go to a restaurant and maybe the food wasn't cooked right, things weren't that great, but you had a super, super nice server that was joking, you had a good relationship with, chances are you're going to go back and try again and think maybe the cook just had an off night. Relationships are key. Jesus knows that. And that's why he tells Martha that she gets distracted from what's most important. See, her problem isn't that she is just getting these things done. It's because she's distracted. She's pulled into so many different directions and so busy that there are wedges being put between her and Jesus and her sister. She worries too much. So we know that worrying doesn't really do much good. Most of the time when we worry about things, what are the things you worry about? Do they really matter in the long run? Or is it a small thing that is a worry for just today? How often do you worry about something so much that that thing you worry about never happens? But yet we all worry. We cannot seem to not have those anxious thoughts. Sometimes we can't help but busy ourselves with frantic activity. And even that, a lot of our busyness, a lot of our distractions, they come from the most noble intentions.
We want to provide for our families. So we work those extra hours at work. We put in that extra time to do our job well. We want to give our children every opportunity to enrich their lives. So we drive back and forth across the county multiple times a night to get all the kids to their different things. We want to serve our neighbors. And we want to serve the Lord. And just think, where would our church be without its Marthas? Those faithful people who perform the task of hospitality and the services that are so important to making our church welcoming and a well-functioning community. But yet, do we make ourselves so busy that we don't have time to simply be still and sit at the feet of Jesus? When's the last time you took just a good deep breath? No, all the way in, all the way out. You know, trying to serve and to busy ourselves with all these noble intentions without taking time to breathe deep and be nourished by God's Word, it's kind of like expecting a tree to grow fruit when it's uprooted. It's probably not going to work. There's so many ways that I just love Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel really reads like a story. It kind of gives you direction, it sets the scene, it goes on. And in this particular passage, it's a cliffhanger. We don't know what happens next. The next thing we'll read in Luke's Gospel is Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. We're left on this cliffhanger. We don't know whether Martha and Mary are reconciled, whether Martha turns around in a huff and keeps on cooking and getting things ready. We don't know if everyone sat down at the meal Martha had prepared and Martha finally takes that deep breath and gives her full attention to Jesus. We don't know what happens. So put yourself in, if you're a Martha, in Martha's shoes. What would you do after those words of Jesus? What would you do if you were Mary? And you heard your sister upset, would you feel guilty and then want to get up and help your sister? We don't know what happens. But what we do know is that Jesus invites all of us who are worried, who are distracted, who are busy with too many things, to take time to sit and rest at the feet of Jesus, to hear His words of grace and truth, to feel His hand upon our shoulder, telling us that we are loved, that we are valued as the children of God, to be renewed in our faith and strengthened for service. We take that time to take that deep breath, to slow down just a little bit and be filled with the love of God, all those worries wash away. You know, the other week, things kind of blew up the camp a little bit where, our camp bus broke down. We were trying to transport day campers. Gary got the news that his wife may or may not have cancer, which, by the way, she had her appointment. She's cancer-free. He's checking back, so everything came out wonderful with that. But Gary's very upset, and so he said, I'm going to be out for the next day or two. I'm just emotionally not there. And I'm in the middle of trying to start games, and I just felt everything going down, and I started to go into hyper mode, running around like a chicken with no head. And then one of my staff members grabbed me and said, Tommy, go sit down in your truck for 5 minutes. I got this. We'll make a plan afterwards. Just that 5 minutes to sit, and once I start hyperventilating, to start breathing deep, centered myself. When you find yourself just so busy that you don't know what to do next, sit down, take in that deep breath. Be still and sit at the feet of Jesus. And be renewed in your faith, strengthened for service, and feel loved as a child of God. If we do that, then we will have the right of it and do the right thing. Let us pray. Holy Lord, we sit at your feet and simply breathe. Lord, help us in the busyness and chaos of our lives, of all the distractions. Most of all, help us with all those distractions that come from the most noble intentions. Help us to slow down, to breathe deep, and feel your presence with us, to feel that calming love of your Spirit fill our hearts. When you strengthen us, we can accomplish all things. Lord, help us to cast our worries aside and just breathe deep in your assurance that you are with us every step of the way, that you will see the task that needs to be done. And help us not to be distracted from the things you would have us to do. Help us to remain focused on the things that truly matter in this life, and to always put you at the center of it. We thank you for that reminder to slow down and to breathe deep. Be with us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.